Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as not always, is my good friend John Wallen, who you may know on Twitter as @FantasyGaffer. Rob is on sabbatical of driving back from Buffalo. That's the end of that story. I really don't know any more than that. John, first of all, very welcome back to you. Also, thanks for being as kind to me as you were while I was in London town.
My pleasure.
Missing the first show of the season for us here.
My double pleasure.
We eulogized Taga a little bit last week because you basically closed shop the same day that we recorded. I'm just curious to get kind of your side of take on things and how proud you are of what Taga provided over the years it did.
Oh, yeah. Well, I appreciate that you guys spent time talking about it, and I've always appreciated that you and Rob have played Taga, played in the Experts Leagues, which we will be carrying on a different platform, but worked really, really hard. If people have bought my annual summer draft guide, they've read that Taga is not in there, which was a last minute scramble because right up until the moment that we thought put Taga on hiatus, we thought we were coming back. We thought we had secured the necessary funding and had the plan in place to be able to make it a viable platform. But yeah, at the end of the day, we couldn't put out a product at a price that we felt was fair to all the tens of thousands of people that played. And so we felt it was, yeah, we just felt we couldn't be fair to all of our players who had given us so much for 4 years.
Yeah, it was obviously a huge bummer, as I said on the day, that it was the best draft game out there. And the Fantasy Premier League one, the official one, is, I don't even want to compare it.
Oh, and I appreciate that too. But yeah, no, I mean, like, you know, I've known you since Taga launched.
Yeah, the Brooklyn days.
That's right. And anybody who would like to meet us up at the Double Windsor or, you know, down at Owl Farm is more than welcome to come and grab us there. Just give us like a 2-day notice so we can travel. And yeah, like it's one of those things where you have to feel good at the end of the day that you're delivering the quality of product to people that have supported you. And if you don't feel like you can do that, I mean, I think that the thing, if you want to have any integrity in the business, the thing to do is to be upfront and say, we can't deliver the product that we thought we could deliver to you, and we'll be back as soon as we feel like we can do that. And so that's what we did.
Yeah, then at the end, Scott wrote a message that didn't exactly shut the door on a future return. Any inkling as to...
I mean, we're definitely not shutting the door. You know, for a lot of us, this has been what we've done for more than 4 years. For a lot of us, this has been something that we wanted to do for, you know, 4 years before that. And so as long as the idea that we can deliver a superior FPL product is viable, we're going to continue to pursue that. But again, we couldn't do that at a price that we felt was fair this season. So, you know, we had to put it on hiatus. And that's probably the last thing I can say about that for like 6 to 8 months. But we hope that you're enjoying your draft league wherever you're playing it, your auction league wherever you're playing it. And if you want to support me continue to do this, you can go, Kev, to fpldraftguide.com, and you can pick up a copy of the draft guide, which is in its fourth year. You've written in it in years past. Rob has written in years past. Mm-hmm. Neither of you are in it this year. This year, it's me and my co-host over at the Bang Average Pod, who are Ryan, that everybody knows as Fantasy Your Ma, and Mike, who everybody used to know as Talkin' Taga because he created Talkin' Taga, but is now Bang Average Mike. And of course, Chuck wrote a brilliant article in there as well about how to value players that didn't play at the World Cup and what that means for their FPL value this season. So I hope people pick it up.
Yep. Unfortunately, though, as you say, there is going to be no Taga this year, so we'll get back to a little bit more of the OFPL stuff, which of you've stayed in touch with over the years, of course. First up, today's big news is Alexander Mitrovic, officially now at Fulham.
Officially now at 6.5.
And officially at 6.5. He'd been in the goal game this whole time, but whatever. We're not going to play that game.
We're not going to play that game, not we're not going to play that game.
All right. Everybody's going to play the goal game. We on the show will not play the game of comparing the official Premier League game to the websites that other people on the show have worked for that are empirically better. Whatever. Anyway. What do you think of Alexander Mitrovic? Obviously had a fantastic second half of the season last year. Obviously not so great for Newcastle in his previous stints in the Premier League. We did have a Fulham fan on at the start of the season on the EPL roundtable.
Let me guess, an American?
Yeah, almost all of them. I don't know what that's all about. I kind of do know what that's
Brian
all
McBride
about.
Was it Brian McBride or was it Casey Keller? Who did you have on exactly?
Clint Dempsey. Anyway, he was basically mentioning that he thinks that Mitrovic respects Jokanovic a lot due to his profile in the Serbian game and everything like that. And he thinks he'll be able to stay on the pitch. He'll contribute the way he did last season. Are you confident that we will see high-level performances, no red cards, and lots of goals from Mitrovic in a Fulham shirt?
That's way too many things that included no red cards. So blanket statement, no. If we remove that, I like that Fulham team to create goal opportunities. I'm looking at Bournemouth 2 years ago where they scored 60 plus goals. They were the fifth or sixth highest scoring team in the Premier League, despite finishing in the bottom third of the table. Fulham has done really good transfer business. They brought in Andre Schürrle. They have brought in Mitrovic. They brought in Sarri. They already had Ryan Sessegnon. Tom Kearney is there as well. This is a team that has a lot of players that create chances. And if you are any kind of savvy FPL player, even if you're playing in a format like the OFPL, you're still looking for those players that are taking lots of shots and creating lots of chances because you understand that taking lots of shots leads to lots of goals and creating lots of chances leads to lots of assists. So Cesc Fabregas last year, yeah, he might have only gotten 4 assists, but he created over 90 chances. Is there a good chance he creates 90 chances this year? There sure is. Is that going to result in only 4 assists again? No, it's not. So you want to get in on these guys. And when you look at the way Fulham are projected to line up, I think it's Mitrovic that you count on to be the, I'll throw a number on, I'll say 14 goal scorer this year.
That's not bad. I think you'd take 14 goals from him at 6.5. Would he be a guy you just roll at that 6.5 price, or would you bring him on in form and then drop him if they had tough matches ahead of him?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. And I know you and Rob are both really into the strategy of laying out your season, particularly in advance. And before I answer that, I just want to know, because when I did the show with Rob for the first edition, he didn't really answer it, but because transfer deadline day is before the season this year, at least in terms of incoming transfers, not outgoing.
Correct.
Are you thinking that you still would use a wild card in the first 5 weeks? Because just so you know, personally, I am not. I don't think I'm planning on using my first wild card till after the first international break.
Yeah, well, isn't that like week 4 though?
It's 5? I thought it was 5.
Okay, well, it's 4 or 5. I'm not intending on using my wild card early, and I've seen people pushing to recommend people only really playing the first 4 weeks. with their preferred team. I tend to view the season in five match stretches, which is a lot of you at home will realize doesn't work perfectly. Because 38 games is not easily into five go.
Not easily. I mean, you just cut off a couple fingers at the end.
Yeah, you just got to fudge it a little. No, I never plan my season around being wrong enough that I'd have to wild card early. Like the
oh man, you and I play so different.
Potentially. I would rather. Let me rethink that. Okay, I don't want to own Aguero or Kane at the start of the season, right? Yeah. Aguero because of the World Cup / Jesus stuff. Kane because of the what's August thing that he has in his head.
Harry Kane's never actually played a match in August, so it would have been impossible for him to score in one.
but I'm not sure that all of a sudden in week 4 or 5, once we're out of August, I will then automatically need one of them in my team. In fact, I'm actually leaning more towards a midfield heavy team, although admittedly that leaves out Kevin De Bruyne. But as long as you keep the money available, yep, I'm fine with kind of just playing best team available with almost like money on the DL, to borrow from baseball term, and sure, then bring that money back in if Kane starts going, if Aguero starts going, if De Bruyne goes in. But I'm not doing it to my whole team.
Sorry, I'm totally not trying to like jack hosting duties here from you.
Yeah, go for
but
it.
Like when you look at, I mean, your boys Spurs are up in week 2. Mm-hmm. Burnley, but at home, are in week 3. Brighton are at away. They're away to Brighton in week 4. So it's Palace, Spurs, Burnley, and Brighton in those first 4 weeks. I'm kind of looking at this like I might own one or two Fulham players because they're such good value. But when mm-hmm. I look at it, it's Kearney at 5. It's Sessegnon down at 6.5. Sherla is at 6, which makes no sense to me. And then Mitrovic is 6.5. Like, I'm inclined to buy in to Kearney at 5, who is only 3.2% selected. And I know we're recording really early after Mitrovic was released, but he's still only 1.3% selected. For 11.5, you can fill out your forward 3, your midfield 5, and they're both under 3% owned. Like, yeah, how do you not do that?
You know, I see what you're saying. I think Fulham, and we kind of talked about it last week, I think Everton are also way underpriced as a group.
Yeah, and Everton's opening schedule is absurd for the first 9 weeks.
Yeah, it's pretty tasty. I can see where you're coming from.
It's so good, you feel bad that they're Everton.
I know, I saw, and we mentioned this last week as well, Andrew, who you know as well from our Taga days,
no idea who he is.
Posted a thing, and it was just that error message you get. It said, "You've selected 4 Everton players." It's like, never thought that would happen. Like, what? Yeah, and it is kind of like that just because of their schedule and how tempting it is. With Fulham, yeah, I don't think they have the most difficult start, and they are definitely values. I'm not sure I'm starting with them though. I want to see more from Sessegnon. Sherla is interesting, but he was awful last year for Dortmund.
That's the Bundesliga. We're talking about the Prem right now.
That's true. Also, it'll be really interesting. Today's rumors that Max Meyer is going to Crystal Palace, and they've needed a number 10 basically since the birth of Jason Puncheon.
Yeah, and he's a number.
But yeah, I'm not actually that jazzed on Fulham yet. If there was going to be anybody I was interested in, it would probably be Mitrovic right now. I don't really know about the defense yet.
No, I'm not in on any of the defenders except Alfie Mawson, and that's just because that £15 million real life transfer is an absurdly low price.
It's true. When you and consider, he's so dangerous in the box.
Exactly.
With his head.
And if you're playing in any kind of deep league, if you're playing in a draft league at any of the places, Roto PL or Draft Fantasy or Fantrax, or just Goal doesn't offer that yet, right?
Yeah.
But any of those places where you can score points for defensive plays, clearances, headers, aerials one, they call them. Alfie Mawson is he's a junior varsity stud.
Yeah, and just a reminder that Christian Benteke will score more than 2 goals this year and continues to lead the Premier League in aerial duels won like every single year.
Yeah, he could play 600 minutes and get 900 aerial duels won.
Yeah, exactly. So in formats that do count, that is a statistic. Like last year, I think I had been Tekay all year. People could be like, but he's not scoring goals. But he still had like 10 plus points every game just because of that.
Yeah, he was a top 20 forward. And he scored three goals.
Yep. Classic. Hopefully Mitrovic can manage to do better than that. You were talking about Fulham offering great value as a club on the whole. What position do you think offers the most value this year?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So if we're looking at the OFPL, it's still probably midfield. But mm-hmm. The question is, do you want to buy into a bunch of mid-priced midfielders? And so it runs from, you know, whatever, 4 or 4.5 up to 13 because Mo Salah is still a midfielder. So I'm not looking at it in terms of, like, you know, the actual, like, midpoint there. But, like, let's take, like, a random price, like 7.5 million. And when you consider the fact that you can get Henrik Mkhitaryan for 7.0, you can get Cesc Fabregas for 6.5. You can get Goodmanson for 6 million. Aaron Moy, who you previously talked about, at 5.5. Aaron Ramsey, who I think a lot of people, because of his injury, still forget. He had 7 goals with 10 assists. That is his best ever FPL assist season and his second highest FPL point total. And he did it in 1844, which, Kev, is basically half a season.
Yeah.
All these guys.
Also, 2 years after Tottenham was founded.
Oh, well, there we go. Willian at 7.5, Andros Townsend at 6.0. I mean, Anthony Martial is 7.5, but probably not going to get enough minutes. But I mean, like, I just rattled off an entire legit, like, if I told you that had to be your starting midfield in a draft league, you would be okay with that.
Oh, for sure.
And that doesn't bother me then for OFPL. And then when you flip the page, and I don't think people ever bother to flip the page on the OFPL, like, you know, drop down menus and screens. When you get to the second page, Richarlison is a midfielder and 6.5 million.
Yeah.
Pedro is a midfielder and 6.5 million. Like, these are like monster FPL players. Like, I don't see, like, it's, these numbers, they don't make sense to me when I look at them. Like, how can Mikel Antonio be a 7.0 midfielder when Pedro is 6.5? Like, it makes no sense.
Mikel Antonio has no place left in that team anymore.
Yeah, pretty much.
Despite the fact he could play in all of them and has under various.
And honestly, West is probably, like, on the training pitch, one of the three best players they have on their team.
Probably, yeah. But anyway, you got to give Anderson his shot. You got to give Yarmo his shot.
Yeah, but so, I mean, that's just my point. Like, do I want to own a lot of high-priced midfielders? Can I curse still? But, you know, F yeah, guys. I mean, the high-priced midfielders are so, I mean, they're going to score so many points. But you could put together, I will tell you this today, you could put together an entire midfield five of midfielders to start that cost 7.5 million or less. And at the end of the season, if you did not touch that midfield, and you just rotated forwards and defenders and goalies, that midfield would score enough points that you could be the number one overall player in the OFPL league. Like, there are absolutely enough value plays there that should not be discounted to the extent that they are.
What ratio would you say people should aim for then of big midfielders to bargain seems crazy, but that group of like seven and below.
Yeah, but it is crazy, but they are bargain, right? Because when you actually sort by price then and you look at it, you have Mosala at the top, and it obviously it trends down. But like, how can Mosala be at 13 million and Kevin De Bruyne at 10? Like, Kevin De Bruyne is a discount midfielder, the way they've lined this game up. The man's an absolute stud. Kevin,
also, you mentioned Richarlison. Salah is apparently worth two of him.
Well, I mean, he's probably worth like three of him in the real world. From a fantasy perspective, you know, when you start to look at this, Raheem Sterling at 11 million. If you asked a random FPL player who had the most goals assists, I don't think that they would tell you Mosala, probably, because they would just guess the goals. But I don't think they'd tell you that Raheem Sterling was second.
Yeah.
And it's because he had 17 assists on top of 18 goals. Like, he is every bit as good as we all thought he would be when Brendan Rodgers was chastising him for being late to a fucking flight, and then they sold him to Man City for no goddamn good reason, and now he doesn't play for Liverpool.
But it sounds like you're not bitter about that.
No, that's exactly what I'm not. I'm not bitter. But when you're talking about, like, again, do you want to invest in, like, high-scoring midfielders? You could go out, Kev, you can go out and get Alexis Sanchez, Eden Hazard, Sadio Mane, and Christian Eriksen, and you're still under 40 million because they average out to less than 10 million a player.
Mm.
That's way better than drafting in Harry Kane. That's way better than drafting in Mo Salah, Harry Kane, who is the next highest priced player there?
At the
like
top.
Overall, who's in? Yeah. Who's like the actual like next highest priced player?
Oh, do
Kane. Thank you.
You said Kane.
It's Kane. Oh, I said the Kane.
Yeah. So then I was like, oh, well, there's a lot of 11s. So I was just scrolling.
I forget. No, Kane's 12 and a half. Aubameyang is who I was thinking. But Aubameyang's the same price as Sterling. I thought Aubameyang was half a million more. By the way, Aubameyang, I think, is a steal at 11. If
it's just so annoying that they start with City. It's just very irritating. It is.
By the way, was that like an extended monologue where I just like had to tell people how to like do drop down menus on the FPL?
Yeah, pretty much.
Guys, there's way better stuff than that in the FPL guide draft guide. FPL draft guide.com. That's where you should go.
There you go. For me, I was telling Rob back when it sounded like De Bruyne might be back on time, which is not what it sounds like right now.
No, it does not.
I had Salah, De Bruyne, Eriksen, and I was just going to roll midfield heavy with Firmino and Zaha up front, although starting to be less sure that Zaha will...
Let me pitch you on a concept.
Yeah.
And then not to like upsell a thing. But like, so I do a cheat sheet in the FPLDraftGuide.com thing where I rank the top 150
what is
players.
That?
FPLDraftGuide.com.
And where can they find it?
FPLDraftGuide.com.
Oh, okay.
It's weird that it has the same name.
Yeah, fortuitous.
But I rank 170 players overall, as you know, including 20 goalkeepers, 50 defenders, 60 midfielders, and 40 forwards. And the way that it works out is it also has these kind of tiers, and they're built out sort of by round for a draft. And I know we're talking OFPL, we're talking salary cap, but when you start to look at the way people are priced, the three players that you just named, those would all be first round draft picks in a draft. It would be impossible.
Yeah.
Impossible for one team in a draft league to own all three of those players. And what I like to do is I like to take that cheat sheet and I compare it to the OFPL prices and I say, how do I build the best team? Right. And you look at how you kind of break down, and that's where you find those values. So that's when I say, like, somebody like Richarlison being priced where he is, or I mean, not to stick with the Fulham Schürrle discussion, but like Andre Schürrle is not a, his price at 6 million does not equate where it would in a draft. Like, you can't get him in the 15th round out of 16 rounds. You have to take him in one of the first six rounds if you want to get in on that. Sigurdsson, Gylfi Sigurdsson, by the way, massive value as far as I'm concerned right now. He coming off that 4-goal, 4-assist season, everybody's down on Gylfi, but he's ostensibly the only set piece taker that they have, unless they're going to let Schürrle take some. He's going to get 28.50 in terms of minutes. Gylfi's going to be back up around 9.9. And there are very few players that are going to be up around 9.9. And in an off season, that's Dele Alli. And you can get him for, what, $2.5 million less.
Mm. Yeah.
So anyway, sorry, not to opine.
No, all excellent points on your end. Part of the reason behind my midfield thinking is not to try to copy somebody's success last year, but the guy that finished number one overall last year in the FPL was talking about how he didn't understand why people were so ignorant to the fact that midfielders get an extra point for every goal and extra point for every clean sheet. He's like, it's just 2 free points every match. Why did nobody else realize this? I was like, shut up. I did realize it, you jerk.
Yeah, but I mean, also you got to pick the right guys still.
You do. And I think this year in particular lends to that, which we did mention last week, because there are so many question marks about so many of the forwards to start the season coming off the World Cup year. So yeah, that's what I'm currently looking at is midfield. And I'm glad to hear you say the midfield is where a lot of the value is at on the whole. Now, we'll briefly let you ramble about your beloved Liverpool. We just mentioned the World Cup factor. I think I saw Firmino return to training either yesterday or today. Which Liverpool players are you fine with rolling with at the beginning of the season, and who do you want to wait a little bit on or just dislike on the whole?
Yeah, well, Firmino's teeth got there today. Firmino's coming tomorrow.
Well, they saw his teeth from...
But... The OFPL answer is it's still Bobby, because he continues to be undervalued, because people generally, I think, don't understand how much he's doing to create goals for that side. And I don't just mean in terms of like Opta stats, like key passes or chances created or whatever it may be. But if you, and you are, and I know you've talked about on here, a hockey fan, like second assists is a real statistical mm-hmm. category that gets tracked. And Firmino has an abundance of second assists. And sometimes those second assists are really inconsequential things. Like he creates a chance out of nowhere. He crosses the ball in. The player that receives the ball tips it with his shoelace, and then the next guy scores it, right? That's a second assist, quote unquote, even though he created the chance. And we're talking about really small sample sizes. So we're talking about 3 times across the season, 4 times across the season. But when you look at what Firmino's already doing last year, 15 goals, 8 assists, his 15 goals are fairly sustainable. He is the quote unquote striker for Liverpool. If you give him even last year's, not this current past season, but the season before the 16-17 year, where he played slightly more minutes, but he had 11 assists. If you start talking about him in that category, all of a sudden he's a 200-point player. And as a 200-point player, who, by the way, is the number one point bonus point accumulator on Liverpool, it is not Mo Salah, it's not Sadio Mane, it is Bobby Firmino, yeah. Gets the most bonus points. How is he at 9.5 as a forward? Yeah, Salah's at 13 as a midfielder. Mane is at 9.5. If Mane was at 9 or 8.5, like, and Bobby maybe was at 9.5, right.
Yeah.
But it's got to be Bobby still. And then as soon as the first injury happens this year, Shaqiri at 7.5 becomes an incredibly viable option. But not until the first injury happens.
Agreed. And what do you think about Robertson at 6? Because it's a little pricey and it's a little expected of what he did last year. But
I don't get it, man. I see Robertson... I've seen more teams sent to me or tagged into me on Twitter where Robertson is the player that is the quote unquote third player that people have. He is 15.9% selected right now. TAA is 15.4. But the reason I bring up that 15.9 is he is more highly selected than Sadio Mane is, than Naby Keita is, than Fabinho is at 6 million. By the way, that price is too high. It should be 5.5. So I kind of get that. But like, there's no way that Robertson should be owned at 16 at 6 million at 16%. There's no value. God, man, I hate doing the North American thing. But like, all of his value is priced in at that price. He has to do exactly what you think he could do in order to be valuable there.
Yeah. He's
like a Chris Archer type. You know what I'm saying?
This will become the Chris Archer podcast here in a little bit. But no, I see your point on Robertson there. What do you think about Liverpool's defense on the season as a whole now, though, with Van Dijk, with another year embedded, with Fabinho now able to protect that back line, bringing in Alisson? Like, where do you think you'll land in total clean sheets?
The last year Liverpool was fine on clean sheets, in fairness. I mean, when you look at Loris Karius, he got slated a lot for what happened in the Champions League final and some mistakes he's made in the summer. He played less than a half season of minutes. He played 1,700 minutes last year. He had 10 clean sheets. That team was really good down the stretch. They allowed only one goal per match on average across the season, 38 goals allowed in 38 matches. They were fourth best defensively, quote unquote, the fourth best defensive record in the EPL. So even if all they do is that again, Alisson is going to be a perfectly acceptable FPL goalkeeper. I like him better in draft than I do in salary cap. A, because in salary cap, Kev, as you know, you're limited to three players per team, and his price is high. And I have to say, I see Liverpool winning a lot of matches 3-0, not 3-1, not 2-0.
Hmm. Yeah, they're still going to try to beat you with the attack, obviously, which is still obviously
God very, willing,
very very talented. I don't think another piece is coming, though. I know a lot of Liverpool fans are thinking maybe Fekir will still get done. But as an FPL owner, I hope it doesn't happen because it would just muddy the waters a lot.
Really just hope they sign Mahrez.
You should bring Sterling back now that Mahrez has a spot.
Oh, good God. Oh, wouldn't that be beautiful?
When we get Bale back, you can have Sterling back.
Okay, that's fair.
Word.
I mean, he's like 6 years younger, so I'll take that.
Is that it? It feels like he might be even younger than that. Cool. I am honestly, I'll just be real with you guys, kind of have to go. I have a work obligation that is calling me on the spot at the moment.
But work is nonsense. You should do your free podcast some more.
I should do my free podcast some more. That's a very, very good point. But hate to cut the fun early, but we definitely wanted to be sure to get something out to you guys tonight. First of all, Chris Archer to the Pirates. Amazing. Love that deal. I think people don't realize
that, flag.
That Glasnow and Meadows are not the players they were supposed to be yet. They could get there. It's potential we're ditching ship early. But I'm not sure Meadows or Glasnow really walk into starting roles with the Rays either. So, whatever. Getting Chris Archer is great. Getting Keona Keela is great. They're both under control. Yay, go Bucks. Final thoughts from you.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm totally on board with the Bucks getting Archer. And I saw a really awesome tweet from Eno Saris, earlier saying that the Bucks only have two players that are up for free agency this summer, this winter, which is mind-blowing and amazing. Mm-hmm. If you are looking for a draft resource, you should go to fpldraftguide.com and buy one because I am awesome and I would appreciate it. And I would love you for doing so. And I would just say that I am on the Philippe Anderson over Yarmolenko train over at West Ham. I'm not exactly sure why. Over at the Bang Average podcast, which, Kev, you know, is the podcast I host with Ryan and Mike, we just went into a 40-minute discussion about why I am wrong. But I am pretty high on Philippe Anderson. So if you'd like to hear that, please jump over to Bang Average Pod as well and subscribe to that as well as you do the EPL and FPL Roundtable.
Yeah, and I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. You can find me on Twitter at Kevroff. You can find my writings over at Goal. If you want to see why I had to get pulled away from the show so quickly.
LTC?
LTC. So somehow go back in time and be involved in my live text commentary about 6 hours at least before this goes up. So that would be impressive if you managed it. But that is usually done through Omnisport, but they push them out through other websites. So I don't know who it's
actually
for.
Also, best use of a time machine. By far.
Going and watching a live text commentary instead of watching it.
Kevin's LTC.
Yep, there you go. I fully agree there. Sorry, guys, for having to cut this one short. John, an absolute pleasure speaking with you as always.
Always mine.
Thanks so much for listening, guys at home. Best of luck to your fantasy teams when it starts in like 2 weeks. And we'll catch you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.